Genesis chapter number 2, and we're going to start reading in verse number 18 to the end of verse number 23, I'm sorry. Starting in verse number 18 to the end of verse number 23. Actually, we'll extend that to 24 since, so from 18, Genesis 2, starting in 18 to the end of verse 24, reading from the King James Bible, and let's read together in unison. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Bless, I pray, this morning, the sermon. Thank you for the folks that are here. Bless Junior Church, Lord, the nursery. Thank you for being such a merciful, wonderful God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter number 2, starting again in verse number 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" Obviously, since this is Mother's Day today, I want to congratulate all the mothers, as I said earlier, that haven't killed your kids, amen? And I want to thank you ladies that are here this morning, because if you've been here before, the fact that you come back again means a lot. Either that you're deaf, you can't hear, or you love God. It's one of the two. There's not too many women who can come to this kind of a church and hear this kind of preaching that can stay for any length of time that doesn't love God, especially a woman in 2019. You've heard, if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me say quite a bit of stuff on men and women. And today, this morning, and tonight, it's not going to be much different, although I'm going to take a little different avenue, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of my heart this morning concerning woman. Not necessarily mothers, but woman itself, a woman. As you read here, as through the scriptures, a woman was created for a man. That's the sole purpose for a woman. Today in our society, we have taken the order of creation and reversed them, where now men are being taught that they're for women. And because of that, our whole generation, our whole society is breaking apart because everything is out of order. I come to this pulpit and I come to this ministry, and I come to life itself with different viewpoint and a different vision and a different background than the vast majority of people. And I say that not to slight anybody, not to short anybody, not to look down at anybody. I'm just telling you, I come to life itself only through the lens of my mother. This church would not be here if it wasn't for my mother. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mother. The reason this church has lasted as long as it has is because of my mother. I've learned my greatest lessons in life, not from preachers, but from my mother. As a matter of fact, I have some quotes here. Not too many, but here, listen to this. George Washington said, "If I have done anything in life," Booker T. Washington said, "If I have done anything in life worth attention, I feel sure that I inherited the disposition from my mother." Billy Sunday said, "There is nothing in the world of art like the songs mother used to sing." Rudyard Kipling said, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." All I can say is amen to those statements right there. I learned about finances from my mother. I learned about life and fighting from my mother. I learned about being tough and loving people at the same time from my mother. I learned how not to quit from my mother. The vast majority, I don't know the percentage, 80, 90% of all the best lessons I've ever learned in my life have come from my mother. So when I go through a litany of things that may rub you the wrong way, and when I go through a list of descriptions of our society and how Satan has destroyed families, marriages, churches, and our nation, I'm not saying it just to throw aspersions and to castigate and demean women or men. I'm saying it from a background that I grew up. I was born 1957. You understand, the world was a lot different back in the 50s than it is in today's world. And so I wish I could pick up the phone and call my mom today. Amen. I wish I could go by and visit her today. And I do understand the reason why some people are the way they are, because they never had a mother the way I had one. They did not have the mother that I had. And so I understand why a lot of people quit, give up. I understand why a lot of people surrender and walk away from responsibility and duty. I can't do that. Personally, I cannot ever do that. And one of the reasons is because I wouldn't want to ever have my name tainting my mother's reputation. I could never go to my grave doing anything less than my best for my mother's sake. And I believe God has given us women, if I ever get through this sermon, you'll understand a little bit. I have examples after examples going through my mind about my mom that there's just no way in time prohibits me from going into most or all of them, to be honest with you. And one of the reasons I married my wife is our parents were over her parents' house, and I guess it was, I don't know, I can't remember the day, either my birthday or some day, maybe it was a Christmas, we were exchanging gifts, and we weren't married at the time, and we were exchanging gifts here, and I had a gift there from my girlfriend at the time in a white box, you know, a shirt box that you would buy at a Macy's or something like that, and I opened the box, and it was a nice blue flannel shirt. And I said, "Well, that's nice." I closed the box and I put it. I said, "No, no, no, no." They said, "Look at it." I said, "Oh, okay." So I opened the box again. I said, "That's It's a nice shirt. Thank you. Nice. I like it. Blue, dark blue is flannel. You know what I'm talking about. And I close the box up again to put. I say, no, look to see who made it and what design is. So, okay. So I took the box, opened the box again, and I read the tag. You know, it said made by Irene. It didn't even dawn on me that my wife had made this from scratch. I just thought it was some company, Irene or something like that. I said, oh, that's real nice. I said, okay. So I closed the box back up and put it aside. And then, you know, like a thick-headed Greek, stubborn Greek, couldn't get it through my thick skull. They had explained to me, read the tag. I said, oh, did you make this? I said. That clinched the deal right there for the marriage. That clinched it right there. When I found out that my wife made that from scratch, because that's what my mom used to do. My mom was a seamstress. Her foot was nonstop on the old Singer sewing machine, the Treadle sewing machine. And so when I saw that my wife made this from scratch, I said, wow, she's a keeper. Can I say that I have never regretted marrying my wife? Never. I'd marry her again today if I could. And we're married. People ask me, are we happily married? I said, I am. I don't know about my wife, but I'm happily married. I said, you know, I have no regrets marrying my wife. You have no idea how much this church owes to my wife. I cannot tell you how many churches have been ripped apart because of pastors' wives or deacons' wives. I cannot tell you how many churches have fallen apart, disintegrated, or no longer in existence because of pastors' wives. Too bossy, sticking their nose everywhere where they have no business sticking their nose at. And so I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my wife staying by my side and being faithful and loyal to me. I don't know a harder working woman than my wife. He's a liar. But let me say this. He's a good liar, okay? He's an honest liar. What do you mean to tell you? Amen. I understand why women are turned off by this kind of preaching from the pulpit of Grace Baptist Church. Because most men are jerks. Most men are rebels, lazy, drunk, gamblers, and disobedient to the Word of God. So when a woman at a young age sets her heart on a man, most logical women and a natural woman will pin all her hopes and her dreams on that man who will take care of her and support her and fight for her and be loyal to her. And so when that man turns out to be a lazy bum, doesn't want to work, get a job and pay the bills, support the family and protect her, she's devastated her because now he forces her to go leave the house, to go get a job so he can stay home, watch video games, watch the ball games, go hunting and fishing and shooting. Well, he can sleep all day while he chases the wife out and drinks his beer and his liquor. And so she comes home, then she's got to wash the dishes, wash the clothes, mop the floors. And she gets disgusted after a while because the man misuses his authority over the woman. And I understand why a lot of women are hurt. Their hearts are broken. And when a woman's heart is broken and becomes bitter and hard because some man in her life has ruined it and poisoned it, I can understand why they do not like this kind of preaching. See, a woman, from my humble perspective from the Bible, a godly woman is more powerful than a godly man. A humble woman is used more of God than a humble man. Because woman was made for that purpose, to be humble and sweet and kind. She wasn't made to be like a man. But today we have women that are being taught to be like men. When you allow your girls to go into all kinds of sports, you're teaching them to be like men. You're teaching them to worship their bodies and to compete like men. You're no longer teaching them to be the cheerleader that God made her to be for a man. God made a woman for man. She came out of man. That's why she's called woman. Or from a man's perspective, she's called woe man. I forget who it was, some Greek philosopher. I'm going on a limb right now. I think it was Aristotle, Plato. I think it was Aristotle. He said, if a man marries a good wife, he's going to be a very happy man. If he marries a bad wife, he's going to be a good philosopher, he said. Because a woman was made to be a crown for her husband. That's what a woman's for. Or she can become rottenness in his bones, the Bible says. And so the most important decision outside of salvation is the person you marry. Because they'll either build you up or try to destroy you. They'll try to either pull you away from God or pray you toward God. They'll be the kind of woman that God wants her to be, or there'll be a Jezebel that'll fight you all the way. A woman who has been deceived and hurt, a woman who's been used and misused, has a tough time now being submissive and obedient to the Word of God and to the man of God and to her husband, because she regards her heart now as so broken. She's afraid to open her heart again because she's afraid to get hurt again, because she's been forsaken. Her heart's been crushed through a man who lied to her. And I believe a woman can be more spiritual than a man, but she's not today. I believe there's more spiritual men than there are spiritual ladies. But I believe a woman can be more spiritual than a man. But she has so much pressure today on the world that she does not want to submit herself to God. She does not want to be obedient to God the way God says, and thus we don't have the power of God in our families, in our homes, in our churches, and in our nation. Women now have been taught to be career women, to go after an education and go after money and go after a profession and leave your children some daycare center. I want to remind you that the old adage still applies, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So when a woman, through a series of consequential decisions in her life, is, and I put this in quotes, forced out of the house to get a career or a job to pay the bills, I'm putting this in quotes, she's forced to put her children in a daycare center to some strangers to raise them and teach them while she makes money for some wicked sloth who's still stinking lazy to get a second job to pay the bills so the mom could stay home with the children. And she's devastated, and she's razzled, frazzled. She's pulling her hair out. She weeps at night. And then that same jerk, that same fella who married her because she was pretty, when she starts to get wrinkles and the hair turns gray, and because she's had 3, 4, 5, 7 children and she's got some fat on her belly, he turns to some 25-year-old chick instead of being faithful, loyal to the one that he married. And so you can understand what goes through the minds and the hearts in divorce courts, in separations. It doesn't shock me why there's so many murder suicides going on. It doesn't shock me that all these heartaches that you read in the newspapers, that you say, why in the world? What in the world happened here? They're missing the love of a mother. They're missing the love of a wife. They're missing the love of a woman that needed to surrender to the will of God in her life. Some of you in here are single. Some of you are married. Some of you are divorced. Some of you are widowed. Wherever you're at in life, I don't care where you're at, and I don't care how young you are, doesn't care how old you are, God made you to love in a way that a man cannot love, or at least most men do not love. And what our society is desperately missing today is kindness. What our society is desperately missing is love, compassion on people that are hurting, people that are broken, people don't see any way out of life, people with no hope. The church is called a lady, by the way. The church in Revelation is called the bride is called the wife after the marriage supper of the Lamb. So this bride, the church, is the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the bride. And that's why a church should be and have the love that God gave to a woman, not the sarcasm that a man should have. Women ought not to be sarcastic. Men ought to be. Women ought not to be loud. They ought to be quiet, the Bible says. Men ought to be loud. Women need to follow. Men need to lead. And it's a shame today when, unfortunately, too many women are forced to lead their homes because the men have abdicated their responsibilities and the throne that they should sit on. Then they get mad when they think their wife is being too bossy because they're not doing the job that God ordained them to do. And so you have heads bucking each other and hitting each other, and arguments ensue because one's not doing what they ought to do and the other one's stepping up to try to do something so that they can be blessed of God. And then when you come to hear this kind of preaching where God says the wife ought to obey her husband and submit to everything the husband says, the woman who just came out of a divorce, maybe for the second or third time, maybe a woman who was beaten, maybe a woman that was misused, she hears that kind of preaching. I ain't going to do that. You don't know what men are like. Yeah, I know what men are like. Yeah, they're arrogant. Yeah. They misuse their authority. I understand that. Yeah, they twist scriptures, only use certain scriptures. They don't want to use the rest of scriptures that convict them of their sin or their backslidden state. They'll pull up some verses about what the Bible says about women, but they won't read the verse what God says about men. And so that's the problem that we have in our churches, in our homes, and in our nation. But Eve was made to be a help meet for Adam's needs. Not a help meet. That's not one word. It's two different words. She was to meet his needs. She was to be a help to meet his needs. Not just a help meet, that the way it's been used today in religious circles. I'm supposed to lead. My wife's supposed to follow. Jesus leads. I'm supposed to follow. This is his church. It's not Pastor Kalita's church. It's not your church. We say that because we belong here. We're members here. But this is God's church. We don't just change the rule book because we don't like it. That's exactly what our society is doing today. They're changing laws because women don't like the laws that were written 200 years ago, enshrined in our Constitution and in natural law all through the ages. So we have new laws being written by feminists, man-hating feminists who hate God and hate the man of God and hate men. And so you live in that kind of a society that a woman says, I'm not going to put up with that no more. So now you have women that want to be educated instead of training children for God. You have women that worship sports instead of worshiping Jesus. If a Christian woman wants to play in sports, she ought to cover her body up the way God says to do it. And if you cover up your body the way God says, you wouldn't be involved in those kind of sports, ladies and gentlemen. We have women now that are full of vanity, and they're full of their beauty. I mean, just look at them on Facebook, on Snapchat, whatever, all the social media. Everybody takes pictures of themselves and posts how beautiful they are. They paint their face like Jezebel. They're more infatuated with themselves than with the Word of God. They're more interested in power, and in career than the Word of God. And so we come to Scripture where God says, you know, there's going to come a time by you rejecting the Word of God that you're going to pay a consequence that you can't fathom it. And I've read this verse either a week or two ago. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse number 56, he says, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. I mean, I think one of the greatest pictures you'll ever find is a woman just giving birth, and she cuddles her newborn in her breast, in her bosom there, and just, you know, you can't get a more innocent picture of innocence, a better picture of innocence than a mother cuddling her newborn baby there, looking at the baby, and as the baby's cooing, and she's rubbing the forehead, and she's feeding, and she's nursing the baby. Well, God's words are still prophetic, and that same mother, the same mother, is found in 2 Kings 6, where it says, the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give me thy son. Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And then the next day, after they ate the one woman's son in a famine, said, that'll never happen, Pastor. That's because you don't believe what the Word of God says. I would never do that to my son, Pastor, or my daughter. That's because you don't know what God says in the Word of God. Once you start down that road and close your heart to God and become bitter and hardened and calloused. In verse 30, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. So, Pastor, I would never do that. Okay, you keep going down the road of disobeying the Word of God. I don't care who you are. You're not an exception. The Bible says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing in Proverbs 9:13. In Proverbs 11:22, the Bible says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. See, a woman who's beautiful and good-looking and fair, she's full of herself. But everybody who knows her knows she's like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout without discretion. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 23:27 says, a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Proverbs 25:24 says, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. It's on the back of the bulletin today, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Near the end, it closes with verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Single, married, divorced, widowed, forsaken, betrayed. My Bible says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If not here, for sure at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'd rather have the praise of God than the praise of men. And so, ladies, I know you've probably had a tough time in life because you probably made some foolish decisions about who you yoked up with, who you married, who you followed, who you believed, who deceived you, who hurt you, and left you empty and broken. And it's tough to get back to the point where you were before. I understand that. But God can do that if you're willing to do that. God can do that. Because God says the same thing about that delicate woman, that she would never do anything. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands is bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. God said in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. See, the Bible says, the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. So even though you were deserted, even though you were forsaken, our merciful God has called you to marry him, to be his and part of the bride. I called my mother-in-law on the way to church this morning, wish her a happy Mother's Day. I thank God for my mother-in-law. Let me just say this. Just like I've said before, if you cross the King James Bible, I cross you. If you disregard the King James Bible, I disregard you. If you try to discredit the King James Bible, I will discredit you, ladies and gentlemen. The same thing applies to my mother, my wife, and my mother-in-law. Anybody that would hurt, disparage, discredit their mother or their mother-in-law, I cross off my list, ladies and gentlemen. Because once a person, look, maybe you didn't have a good upbringing. Maybe your mother left you. Maybe she deserted you. Maybe she put you in an orphanage. I don't know. But you'd better thank God Almighty every single day that she gave birth to you and let you live. So you can see the light of day, ladies and gentlemen. If nothing else, you're alive today because of your mother, who went to the gates of death just to bring you into life. For anybody to disparage their mother, you're talking to the wrong person. I remember I was married about a year or two, North Carolina. I wrote my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, a letter in Greek. I said, thank you for the wife that you gave me. Thank you for the girl that you taught. Thank you for everything that you've done to her, to teach her that I was able to marry that kind of a girl. I don't have any sympathy for anybody that curses, disparages their mother, makes fun of their mother, or their mother-in-law, that she went to the gates of death to bring forth your wife. I'm sorry, I don't have any sympathy for that. You're talking to the wrong person. I told you, I could go on for weeks on end to tell you story after story after story of my mother. And you didn't have it as hard as my mother did, I promise you, I guarantee you. We can look over our notes afterwards. We can go over your notes and my notes. You'll find out how tough your mother had it. My mother would go to jail and be in prison today for child abuse. Yeah. Thank God for all the child abuse she threw my way, man. If you ever knew what my mother did to us growing up, she'd be locked up. A child protective would be called. Department of Social Service would be called. The sheriffs and the troopers would be knocking on our door. We'd be taken away out of the home, put in some place, some government home where we wouldn't have a godly mother raising us and teaching us. Thank God for every single time my mom whipped my rear end, man. I can tell you a story. If I told you a story right now, you wouldn't believe me. It would be I'm telling you, it would be child abuse today. Forget the whipping. I'm talking about other stuff. You know, I hear sometimes my own children say, man, I wish my grandmother were alive. You know what my mom would do? She'd probably spit in their face is what she would do. Yeah, my mom wouldn't hold anything back, man. Nothing back. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I've been on the recipient of a lot of things you wouldn't believe. Came home one day from school, instead of kissing me when I came in through the door, my mom took her hand and slapped me across the face as hard as she could. I said, oh, she called, didn't she? My teacher. See, my mom was a seamstress at home, and I forgot that the teachers were some of her customers. And I was acting up in class. And I, you know, when I left the house, I kissed my mom. When I came in, I kissed my mom. I opened the door. The first thing my mom did, she slapped me as hard as I could, man, as hard as she could. And didn't stop, not just one slap, man. I said, oh, she called, didn't she? I remembered. Oh, I'm telling you, this is a tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, if you ever heard the stories, and I'm not going to tell you, but if you ever heard the stories that I went through, you think my mom was a maniac, but that's why you're here in church this morning. That's why I'm still pastoring this morning. That's why I haven't quit this morning. That's why I haven't surrendered this morning. I'm trying to teach you a godly love that only God can give. That if a woman submits herself to God and yields herself to God, she has the power to change her home, the power to change society. And our society is crashing because women want to be in charge. They want to be judges and presidents and congressmen, senators, councilmen, mayors. I say she go back home and start baking cookies. I say go back home, put the apron on, and play with your children, teach your children if you love your children. I wish I could call my mom today. I wish I could go by and visit her today. That day's going to come. And God help you. See, I have no regrets because I love my mom unconditionally, man. But God help you and have mercy on you when the day comes and you can't call her anymore. Because you're going to have regrets you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And then you're going to give an account to God Almighty for the way you mistreated your own mother or your mother-in-law or your wife. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, selfishly, I want to thank you for my mom, for my wife. I want to thank you, dear God, that we're part of the bride. This church is your church. You're the bridegroom. We make up the bride. And one day we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this, the Lamb's wife, shall be with thee for all eternity. And until then, as much as the world wants to teach churches to disparage you and thy word, help us to believe thy word. Help us to believe thee. Help us to be faithful and loyal to thee and not to the world. Help us, dear God, to bear children as thy bride with people that are hurting, people that have been forsaken, people that are broken. Help us to bear children into thy kingdom before it's eternally too late. And dear God, we've been here 32 years now almost. And there's some here this morning. They've been away for a while. And as a song was sung today, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And those who are here this morning can attest to that, a lot of them. And there's others, they've been away from thee, away from the home church, the mother church. Help this church, the bride, to love them like the love that you gave to a woman. Help this church, this bride, to pray for them, to plead with them and beg for them to come back to thee, just as a mother would beg and plead for her own children when they become wayward. Help us not to give up on people. Help us not to be as cold as the world is, even in religious circles. Help us not to be calloused and seared conscience. Help us to love people, even if it hurts again, Even if we leave ourselves vulnerable again, help us to love people the way you loved us before we loved you. Bless these dear folks. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.